Today's message is The Power of We, presented by a number of folks who attended the General Assembly and what they brought back.
Good morning. My name is Terry Tilton Jones. My pronouns are she and her. Last month, about a dozen of us traveled to Spokane for General Assembly, which is the annual national gathering of UUs. It was really powerful and sometimes heartbreaking, and I think we all learned a lot. So several of us are going to share what we brought back and what we hope to share with y'all as the days go forward.
I'm Sylvia Mulawson, and my pronouns are she and her. And I've been very moved by the music, and hope to get through this without a lot of tears. On Friday night, June 21st, 2019, a tall, handsome 52-year-old gay Cuban-American poet named Richard Blanco spoke to us, the nearly 3,000 Unitarian Universalists gathered in Spokane, to recognize and celebrate the power of we. Acknowledging, as a faith, where we've been and where we've come, recognizing mistakes we've made, and committing to moving forward with open hearts and ever-increasing diversity. Being one of those people who receives information best via poetry and music, I came away with words firmly embedded in my heart that remind me every day that our only hope for the future lies in the power of we. And I want to share some of those words with you this morning. Richard Blanco's latest book of poems is titled How to Love a Country. It's not an easy book to read, but then things in our country today are not easy. How to Love a Country is an honest book that asks hard questions and reminds us of some of the truly bad times that we have experienced and continue to experience. The ongoing fight for human rights, gender equity, racial justice. Blanco exposes the reader to the massacres of Sandy Hook and Parkland, Orlando, and Las Vegas. He opens our eyes to the last known public lynching in Alabama in 1981. He speaks to the dreamers, to the heart of the Rio Grande, and to what is happening at the border. Our reading this morning is titled, What I Know of Country. What I Know of Country. Those picture books from grade school days. Pilgrims in tall hats, their gold-buckled shoes I wanted so badly. White-wigged men standing tall in velvet-curtained rooms, holding feathers in their hands, inked words buzzing off the page into my heart's ear. Life, liberty, happiness for we the people. Singing of shining seas crossed the spacious skies of a God-blessed land when a song and a book were all I knew of country. I've forgotten the capitals of Vermont and Iowa, but I remember my eyes on a map mesmerized by faraway cities, towns I couldn't pronounce or believe the vast body of this land belonged to me and I to it. The Rockies spine, the blue stare of the Great Lakes and the endless shoulders of coastlines, the curvy hips of harbors, rivers like my palms lines, traced with wonder from beginning to end, the tiny red dot of my heart marking where I lived, when what I knew of country was only what I read from a map. I wanted to live in the house I dreamed from television. Cushy sofas, crystal candy dishes, mothers who served perfectly roasted turkeys with instant stuffing, children with allowances and perfect teeth. Fathers driving teal blue cars with silver fins to some country club that I'd surely belong to someday. Though the gunfire of war beamed into my bedroom, though I fell asleep, though our men from the moon landed on my roof with empty promises from space, fantasy was still all I could believe of country. I didn't want to change the channel, but I did. I lifted the shades, let light shine on the carpet stained with lies that I had missed, and saw the dust of secrets settled over the photos. The house began to creak, fall apart around me, alone for years, waiting at the kitchen table, the last to know, asking my reflection in the windows, "How could you, America?" With no answer for all I knew of country, was my hurt and my rage. But home was home. I dusted off the secrets, cleaned up the lies, nailed the creaky floors down, set a fire, and sat with history books that I'd never opened, listened to songs I'd never played, pulled out the old map from a dark drawer, redrew it with more colors, less lines. I stoked the fire, burning on until finally, "Okay, nothing's perfect. I understand. I forgive you," I said. And forgiveness became my country. I stayed, you stayed, we stayed for our boys and girls, returning as heroes. Some without arms or legs. For our challenger in our towers fainting from the sky. For the terrified lives of the Big Easy, stranded like flightless birds on roofs. For the sea that drowned our north. But we swept each grain of sand back to shore. For the candles we lit for our 20 children of Sandy Hook, feeling what we have always felt. To know a country takes all we know of love. Some days better than others, but never easy. We keep our promise every morning of every year of every century and wake up, stumble downstairs with all our raging hope, sit down at the kitchen table again until blurry-eyed, still tired, we say, "Listen, we need to talk."
Hi, my name is Eric Tilton. My pronouns are he and him. I wasn't sure what to expect of General Assembly. I was unchurched, as they say, before I came here. And part of my spiritual journey has been figuring out what my spiritual journey is. For me, it was inspiring and educational to be around 3,000 other UUs and to see a number of new ways that our faith could be modeled. The services were inspirational, the singing was amazing, and it was meaningful to me to see the way that the race discussions especially were brought to the fore as part of the structure and drive of the whole assembly. Seeing Reverend Tracy reach her full fellowship was also a special moment I was grateful to be present for. GA was bookended by role-based workshops, and I attended the ones focused on stewardship. I've gotten involved with stewardship the past few years here, and it's been an amazing way for me to get to know this community. You may have noticed over the past few years we've tried to make the stewardship drive as much about reaffirming our membership in this community as about the money. That's because, as you heard Tracy Lowe Silver say back in February, stewardship is a broader word that really is talking about the ways we take care of each other. That was the way of thinking I heard reaffirmed at GA. When we pass the basket, we're asked to think about all the ways we might be part of this community. How do we steward this beloved community and welcome and care for all? GA left me re-inspired to think about how we grow our culture of generosity, welcome, and abundance. I definitely recommend going to these ones.
Hi, I'm Felicity Shoulders. I've been learning about permaculture and backyard carbon farming for climate resiliency, so I have land and climate on my mind at GA. At a panel on using permaculture principles to cultivate your congregation, I met a Corvallis gardener. Megan and I visited Spokane's eclectic botanical gardens on a break. I brought my new obsession with climate repair everywhere with me. But GA wasn't obsessed with climate change. Speakers occasionally mentioned it as if it were an article of faith or a shibboleth. Many of us feel acknowledging the truth is all we can do, but we must and can act too. GA was great about waste creation, using compostable containers and providing trash recycle compost waste stations with volunteer guides. I was proud to hear the UUA developed this with the venue, so we're leaving Spokane this system and knowledge. The UU Ministry for Earth is creating a network at createclimatejustice.net. I've signed up, and I hope some of you will, too. Amber was a climate-based protest to GA. Flyers asking, why must we gather in person? Why burn all this fuel? Thought-provoking questions. I, for one, will be focusing on building soil, roots, and beloved resilient community close to home with what I learned at GA.
Hi, I'm Jim Johnson. Going to GA was fun. Seeing two of our youth carry the banner, sharing the house with several woofers, attending the party for Reverend Tracy Springberry's full fellowship. I've been a UU for 29 years, but this was my first GA. For the first time, I came away feeling like I really am a UU. I came away excited, hopeful, and uncomfortable. Yes, uncomfortable. The UUA has been consciously working hard to change. We white people have grown up and been accustomed to white privilege. That most of the leaderships are held by white, heterosexual, cisgendered males just feels natural. The UUA efforts to mitigate this was evident in so many ways at the GA. The number of women and people of color at the events, the several workshops that dealt directly with the issues, not abstractly dealing with them, but having us examine our own innate assumptions, how we are automatically racist, and how we resist noting that. These things were deeply moving for me. So, I came away uncomfortable. We like to claim that we are a welcoming congregation, but I don't really know what that means. I only know that I have personal work to do. So, GA was a time of soul searching. It was a wonderful experience. I recommend it.
Good morning. I'm Jennifer Frickman. I came into this world as a Unitarian. My parents had me and my sister formally recognized as a Unitarian, naming service as an infant. At that time, that is how new babies were brought into the fold of this church. There was no christening, no baptism, no words to welcome a new Christian into this world. We were not Christians. I am still not a Christian by the standards that many Christians recognize themselves. My parents were cynical and hard. I have spent my life searching in the Unitarian Church for a church where the life of the spirit and heart is honored. I found that church an honoring at GA. I am born again. There was a wide variety of spiritual religious experience available. I attended a UU Christian communion service. I talked with UU mystics and found books on universalism in the bookstore. I met the author of a scholarly but unstuffy work on the deeply spiritual nature of transcendentalism. Thanks to Thoreau, Emerson, Margaret Fuller, poet Walt Whitman. There were early morning worship services with the changing roster of UU ministers each day. There, participants enjoyed Buddhist meditation, sacred dance, babies included, and heart music. There was also silence and some chanting. These sessions were early in the morning, so the groups were small enough to feel seen and heard. Suddenly, not everyone was a stranger. It was an intimation of we. There were workshops too numerous to list, political talk, consciousness raising about white supremacy and the racism we UU liberals unwittingly perpetuate. There was also a 12-step recovery meeting. It was eye-opening to meet other recovering folks who might feel a bit odd about God and prayer. In truth, I pray and reach out to the spirit of life every day. Many UU recoverers never do either. At the age of 64, I can finally say with certainty that at GA I found my tribe, my Unitarian Universalist tribe, we.
I want to talk to you about grace and about doors. One of the most powerful experiences I had at GA was attending Saturday morning services. My heart was both soothed and shaken. I did not know how deep in me still is the wound of growing up a queer woman in a male-dominated, all-white Christian church, where on Sunday morning, the world abruptly gets narrow. Gender roles are strict, the only women up front are in the choir, and where all authority is masculine, where there are no daughters, only a sexless mother, where only straight people are allowed to marry. I did not know how wounded I was until I saw a stage full of women, full of queer and trans people and people of color, until I saw a beautiful young person, mostly masculine presenting, but wearing the most glorious teal lipstick, speak as the chalice was lit, until a young black woman minister named Yadeni Hailu moved me to tears as she spoke about her struggle to love herself and find her place in the universe. Finally, I saw myself up there. I saw myself in the sacred. I saw people who look like my multiracial family. I saw a world that looks like my world now and the world I want. I felt the reality of that wound and another step in its healing. And I wept. I couldn't seem to stop crying. When the service was over, the woman to my right offered her hand and asked if I was all right. I said I was okay. I was just feeling a lot and spilling out my eyes. She smiled and simply held my hand and sat with me for a moment. I said, "That was just beautiful, wasn't it?" And she said, "It was gorgeous, and I'm glad you're here this morning." I thanked her and said, "Me too." And I turned for a moment into my partner's arms for a hug. And when I looked back, she was gone. What a gift of presence and grace she gave me. I didn't even get her name. I was too shaken to focus on workshops. And the best care I could offer myself was to go to the summer solstice ritual. I'd been invited by a new friend, a queer black man with the sweetest smile you've ever seen, who'd been having a tough time lately, but was really looking forward to celebrating solstice. So Felicity and I went. We were running late, but we found an open door and seats, and a kind stranger explained how to participate in the activity already underway. We sang, we held hands, we filled that sterile beige convention center room with a spiral dance of elemental joy, a celebration of the world bursting with life that beautiful summer day, and our hearts were full. In the midst of our celebration, I noticed my new friend wasn't there. As the crowd broke up, I noticed him standing at the back of the room with a few other black folks. It seemed to me that he was in pain, so I approached carefully, and the story emerged. Like us, he'd been running late. The doors were closed. There was one door open just a crack, and when he pulled it open, the white woman standing there looked him over and told him, "We are in ritual and you cannot come in." She shut the door in his face and it locked. He was stunned and deeply hurt. He'd come in only when ritual was over, only able to enter after someone already inside had opened the door for him. One of the people with him was an older black man who shared how he too had been excluded from such gatherings, and once even told by a leader of the UU pagan group around the time of its founding that he wasn't welcome because paganism belonged to Northern Europeans.
as though no one but white people had gods, as though the sacred belonged to us. Things have gotten better, he said. A black minister read a poem in Blessing here today. There are more of us in the room. But, he said, some folks just ain't woke yet. We left the room, a group of us surrounding my new friend with our protection. We asked him how he wanted to proceed. He said he wanted to find the white woman who shut the door. One of us did so and told her that she had caused harm. She apologized, but claimed she thought my new friend was early for the next event in that room, and we weren't done yet. Now, my new friend was wearing at least three pagan symbols on his body, including a pendant of a pentacle with a crescent moon nearly the size of my palm. So, I think when she looked at him, all she saw was a big black man, and she decided he didn't belong, as though that choice was hers to make. Both my new friend and I started that day with wounded hearts. My wounded heart was held that day, offered so much grace by my fellow UUs. All doors were open to me, but my new friend's wounded heart was only wounded yet again. One of the things that he said that stuck with me is that he expects more from you folks because we promise more. In our seven principles, we make our promises, and we raise people's hopes. So it hurts more, he said, when those hopes are dashed. I left TA with trouble on my soul, and all the wild joy and fullness of heart I had felt after the solstice celebration turned to ash. I could not find it again once I knew that the welcome I had received was not available to everyone. What I brought home from GA was joy, yes, but mostly questions. Where are there doors in my heart, in your hearts, in our lives, in this congregation? Will we hold them open? Will we work to be aware of who is beside us, behind us? Whether we make room for others to come through as easily as we do? How many acts of gatekeeping do we white people commit? How many doors have we shut in people's faces, intentional or not? Will we be the ones who open the doors from the inside and let people in? Who has offered you grace? Did you see? Did you notice that grace was being offered? Did you offer gratitude in return? How often do we fail to understand the grace and patience we are being offered when someone marginalized in a way we are not says to us, that wounds me and I need you to stop? That they are being brave and vulnerable enough to say so when they have been hurt so badly so many times and they don't have any reason to believe we will react with love because it so rarely happens that way. That is a gift to us. That's a gift of trust and hope. How often does our embarrassment and defensiveness stop us from welcoming that gift? So I came home from GA grateful, so grateful for the grace I was offered, very wary of closed doors, and more determined than ever to work to help us live up to our principles and offer grace to everyone who comes here with an open mind and a loving heart.
We have some time for questions and answers, if people would like.
I'm Annie, and I also attended GA, and it was everything that everybody spoke about. And I think the fact that you're there with 3,000 other people that think like you do is just a really kind of warm, fuzzy hug. But what I wanted to say is that if you go to UUA.org, they have a lot of these things recorded. So you can catch the Ware lecture, you can catch a number of things, even some of the music was outstanding. And so if you're curious as to what this felt like or sounded like, that's a good place to catch up on that. And I ran into Carrie at some point in the hallway, and I asked her, you know, where she was going next or whatever. And she said she had just been to something so profound that she just couldn't go anywhere at that point and think you thoughts.
Yeah,
I know. I can't either. So check out the website.
Hello, my name is Gary. My wife Elise and I went to GA when I was here in Portland in 2015. And I guess part of the filter through which I'm seeing the accounts from this year's GA is that I was glad I wasn't there. When I went to this in 2015, I appreciated the Ware lecture, hearing Representative John Lewis talk, the variety of social justice workshops, what I could learn. As a very rationally oriented, agnostic human, there was almost nothing for me during the services. They were so sort of evangelical in feeling that I didn't feel represented at all. And it's kind of like the trend that I've seen since I became a UU in 84. We're moving away from the humanism of that time to a more inclusive spiritualism, but we forget that humanists are still among us and need the cerebral aspect without feeling compelled to say, I believe in a spirit, I believe in a God, which to me requires evidence.
Yeah, that is a point. I'm an atheist, a humanist, and one of the things I kind of was looking for at GA was to find out whether I fit with the UUA the way I do fit here, which is a very humanist congregation. And I alternately felt, sometimes with the music, that song we sang, really part of a whole and completely thrown out of the whole when I heard language like religious people about us at a panel. And as a member of the choir, I had to sing a song with God in it. Thank goodness the Lord Jesus was in the mail part.
No, I also am an atheist, and for several years was an extremely angry atheist, and has softened somewhat. And at GA, I heard people talk several times about how they very much appreciated our UU theology. And for me, that was a very interesting term to come to, because I don't exactly know how to relate to theology, but then neither does the UUA. And part of that theology for me, perhaps, is being willing to accept that other people have those things while I do not, and they seem to be able to hear me say that, and I hope to be able to hear them say what they have to say.
I wanted to continue to add on to what other folks have been there saying, which is just, I also am an atheist, and what was meaningful for me was to find the ways that I can participate meaningfully in spirituality without it having to be about whether there's a big figure to the sky that can dispense candy or whatever, right? Like, so.
Hi, I'm John Riles, and I really am enjoying this conversation that was just brought up about that, because I'm an atheist as well. And it's been a learning and growing experience to understand that we have sources that we acknowledge for our introspection and enlightenment and growth that are from religions that I don't subscribe to, but I understand that they dispense a lot of wisdom as well. That is not why I asked for the microphone. I have a different question if we're ready to change the subject. I am curious about actions of immediate witness that quite frequently take place at GAs, not necessarily, but they are a gathering of people right then and there that address some social issue that is relevant to not only UUs, but also to the community that we're having a GA in. And the other thing that I wanted to hear about is the long-range, five-year study and action plans that are adopted by GA that in the past has embraced a variety of different issues, including the environment. So I don't know if anybody can address those questions.
Several of us went to the action of direct, I don't remember what it's called, action of direct witness. Evan and I, and it looks like Evan was teaching, Evan and I and Tracy were all there. We did, in concert with the local UU congregation, which is partnered with the traditionally black church in Spokane, we demonstrated against the building of an extra county jail in Spokane, which is an issue there right now. They have consistently just built more jail space, and then they fill it consistently. And, of course, there's cash bail. People can't actually leave, even though they're there for minor infractions. Disproportionately affects black Spokaneans, if Spokanean is the correct word, and indigenous Spokaneans, so I don't think that came up as much. So we participated in a protest against the building of a jail in Spokane.
Who gets to go?
To GA? Oh, that's a really good question. GA is open registration, you know, to whoever wants to go. It is extremely expensive. The registration is upwards of $400. WOF has a program to defray those costs somewhat if people want to apply for a scholarship. But one of the reasons, of course, I think that probably, I don't know about other GAs, but I feel like this is more than when last year, when it was in New Orleans, because the travel expenses are much lower. So they try to make it more accessible by doing as much of the live streaming as they did. And again, those videos are on the UUA website, as it was excellently brought up. Most of the services are on there, and the big lectures should be accessible as well.
I just wanted to, Mary Beth here in the back room of the room, I just wanted to thank everyone who's getting up and speaking right now. And it just occurs to me, I've been a UU for 30 years. I discovered that there was a place for me in 1989, and I hadn't really registered, and all of a sudden I went, wow, 30 years. I think the thing that's drawn me is to hear the personal stories. Anytime anyone gets up and speaks from their heart in a personal way, regardless of what their belief system is, regardless of whether they are agnostic, atheist, or like me, a humanist who feels a little mystical sometimes, I just feel so much gratitude for the ability to actually speak and not feel I'm going to be rejected. Mm-hmm. And I do hear that that is a privilege. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to extend that privilege to every single human being. Everyone has value. Everyone mm-hmm. needs to be welcomed in. We're not always sure how to do it, but we can teach each other how to do it. So I really am grateful for everyone who's doing that today.
I would like to cut this off because we've run out of time, but maybe we can continue after we
And a member of the stewardship team did tell me to tell you that not all of our scholarships were used this time, so if you're inspired to go to GA, please don't self-reject. Next year. Where is it next year? Anybody? Rhode Island. That's right, Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to be presenting a counter narrative to the anniversary of Plymouth Rock or something.
Thank you to all the speakers again. We really appreciate their contributions.